All right, stand up if you would. We are starting a series called You Asked For It, and it will be off all spectrums, and it won't be on a straight line. It'll be here and there, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Today, we're going to do today's topic is called How to Deal with Difficult People in Your Life. Anybody got any difficult people in your life? Anybody standing beside? No, let's don't go there. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says it this way. Again, I say, don't get involved. Now, this is Paul writing Timothy and helping him because Timothy is dealing with some difficult people in his ministry. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish or ignorant arguments that only starts fights. Paul would not have written that unless Timothy was doing that. He was getting in some foolish arguments, and all it was doing was starting some fights. Hopefully, it was verbal fights, all right? Let's just say it was verbal fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. He must have been having a hard time. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult, everybody say difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And today we're going to talk about how to deal with difficult people. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for wisdom. You said if we lack it, we could ask it. And so we ask for it. And Lord, we believe with faith that you will give it to us. And Lord, especially situations right now, Lord, I know that they're facing difficult people at work, at school, difficult people maybe in their own relatives, difficult people in the neighborhood, a neighbor, someone down the street, an official, Lord, somebody that's difficult. So Lord, we just commit this to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, you be seated today. Dealing with difficult people. And I want to unpack this morning, ask God to help us. We need to know God's word. Because if you let Oprah teach you how to deal and how to live, or Dr. Phil only, really, they and I don't think they're all bad. I think they got some good stuff. It's just not God's word many times. And there's people in our lives that seem to be on a mission just to make us crazy. Anybody got anybody like that in your life right now? Their mission in life seems to be just to make you crazy. And all that they do, and so Lord, help us over the next few minutes to know how to deal with that and hear the word. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy one more time. Can you put that back up? Go back to 2 Timothy. It says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant arguments that only starts fights. Now, if you're doing that during the day, one of the big commands from the Lord to you this morning is stop getting in foolish arguments that get you in fights and quarrels. Stop getting in the... Jasmine is in California right now, and there's an issue over there that keeps going up and down, up and down. And I told her right before she left, I said, now listen, here's the key. If it comes up, don't get involved. Don't open your... Don't say anything. Don't speak about it. Let it be, all right? I started to buy her a Beatles song, but I didn't. And I just wondered, because there's sides and it's personal and I won't go any further than that. But I said, do not get involved, because all you're going to do is get in a quarrel and an argument and waste your time. She's in California for a week, her dad's birthday, and their 64th or 5th anniversary for her mom and dad. And so I said, you waste your time. Don't get in food. And some of you are wasting your time quarreling and arguing with difficult people that you don't need to. It says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish and ignorant arguments. It only starts fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind, say to everybody, which includes the difficult people that come your way. Might be a client, might be if you're in a service sort of business where people come into you. In a day's time, if you're in a restaurant or whatever, you know within a day's time, one of the people coming in your door is going to be a difficult person. If you're out doing service calls or whatever, you know that probably in a day's time, one of them is going to be a very difficult person. You name it. Somewhere along life's road, within this next week, you will encounter a difficult person. Everybody say amen this morning. Amen. So, Don't quarrel. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Be patient with difficult people, all right? Gently, everybody say gently. Instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And you need to understand that, because many times the devil will use people to come against you. But isn't it great that God knows there are difficult people in the world? He just put that in the Bible. I want to say, yay, God, you know that there are difficult people in the world. And so when you know that, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the difficult? There's difficult people on this planet. We live on a fallen planet. I like this little saying that I read the other day. It said, to dwell above with saints we love, that will be such glory. But to live below with all the saints we know, that's a different story. And sometimes you live with people, and difficult people day in, day out. Max Licato said, some people have been called to be missionaries of misery sent into the world to wreak havoc. And that's kind of their calling. One of the biggest helps in dealing with difficult people, though, is to begin to understand their DNA. And when you begin to understand their DNA, what makes them difficult? We need to understand the DNA of a difficult. I believe it's half the battle when you understand a person. When you see, the only way that you can demonize somebody is when you make them impersonal. The Vietnamese can become gooks, or, you know, in the Vietnam War, and because you don't know them. But when you begin to know them as people and as persons, you stop with all the demonizing and all the slang terms that you use. And just to set the record straight, all of us can be difficult at times. Is that right? Romans 3:23 says that everyone has sinned, so everybody can be difficult at times. That's kind of what it says. All have sinned. We all have sinned, and all fall short. And all of us fall short at times, and it happens. So we live in a fallen world. And one of the biggest things the devil hates is relationships, because in relationships is where life comes. It's in relationships where you enjoy joy, in relationships where you have your deepest hurts. And so the devil is after to destroy relationships. And he will make it to where it becomes difficult in your family, in your friends, in a relationship, in a marriage, whatever it may be, because relationships are the point of life. And we do life better together. That's why God made families, and why God made a church, that we do better with life as a family. We do better with life together. So much of the life and the joy comes out of relationships. So Jesus dealt with many, many different types of people. So let me give you just a handful of the different types of difficult people that we will encounter this week coming up. So let me just give you, we've got some names for them, and we got some picks for them. I don't know how the picks came out, but let me give them to you. The first one is the hammer. Anybody recently encountered a difficult person that you would just kind of put a tag on them? And a hammer, this is the aggressive, the harsh, the hostile. It's you're wrong, I'm right in the conversation. Have you been around somebody recently that's kind of like that? I mean, they're just, you know, you had anybody in your life that all they want to do was intimidate you, and they do intimidation through that. The second one is the megaphone. You got anybody, the person that loves to talk on and on and on and on. And all they're going to do, I was in a marriage counseling one time in another state, and I was counseling this couple. And I remember the wife said, well, here's the deal. He'll talk on and on and on. And if I disagree, he'll argue and on and on and on and on and on. And he'll talk on until he has to say, okay, let's buy it. Let's just buy it. And so one of the pet peeves I've got is when we fly off and on, and I'm in an airport. Anybody ever been in an airport and somebody been on telephone as if they're in their own house screaming on the phone? You know what I do this. I got to confess. What I do is I get my phone out, and Jasmine gets so mad at me. I'll go right beside him. I'll start going, is that right? I didn't know what's happening. Is that right? I don't know. All right, the megaphone. Number three is the bubble burster. You have anybody, the bubble buster? You have anybody in your life that, you know, it looks difficult, it looks bad, it deflates everything. They put everything down. Didn't Johnny have a good soccer? Oh, he is a horrible athlete. He'll never make anything. Man, I had a great day this week at work. I heard you're about to be fired is what I heard. They just deflate everything in your life. Number four, the volcano. You got anybody in your life, a volcano blows up about anything? Man, you don't have to get a match within 100 miles, and they blow up about anything. They erupt. They're not predictable. They say things out of anger and hurt, and they just spew it out. Number five, the space cadet. Have you run into any space cadets lately? I mean, they're there, but they're not home, you know. You put a space cadet on any team, trouble right off the bat, because you'll be sitting there, you'll be talking. I remember one time I had a group, and we were talking about, you know, issues, trying to, I'm kind of an engineering background. I like to move things along and deal with this issue. And I remember we have this person, and this person is out of left field every time something said, it's out of, well, we're talking about this right here, right now. And they're orbiting some other planet, and we don't know where they're orbiting. All right, number six, the clam. You got anybody, a difficult person in your life that they manipulate through the mute button? They won't talk to you. I mean, they just hit the mute button. That's item number seven. I can tell this is going over real well so far. Number seven, the nitpicker. Have you had a difficult person in your life that's a nitpicker? I mean, just they find something and they just stay on it. You could almost say nitpicker / bulldog. They just find one little thing and they just, you know, they will not give up. Unreasonably perfectionist. Number eight, the crybaby. Do you have any difficult people in your life that's a crybaby? I mean, just you, the slightest little thing and the tears start flowing. Chronic whiner, complainer. They complain. Listen, they complain to control. They pout to control. Nine, the user. Somebody that uses you. You got anybody in your life that just uses you? Only time they ever call is when they need something. You know, they're just going to use you. They're manipulating you. Number 10, the last one, is the garbage collector. Do you have any difficult people in your life that's a garbage, like the garbage collector? And that is, this type of difficult person always rehearses and replays the hurts and the problems of every circumstance in their life and others. All they talk about is they gather it up. They keep gathering it from one generation, one year to the next. You know, you're in an argument, you know, last week. Well, I remember back in 65, you drank that last RC Cola when I wanted it. Really? You've been carrying that around for, you know, half a decade? The garbage. And so there's different types of people. And with each of these different types, you and I, we get to choose how we're going to respond to them this week. We get to choose how we're going to respond when you knock on that door, when you answer that telephone, when you get the letter, when you get the email, when it's on Facebook. You get to respond this week on how you get to choose how you're going to respond to the difficult person that enters your life. Because you will have one. Everybody in here will have one this week, at least one coming in. Because they see, and one of the keys is because they see life different than us, and they see through a lens sometimes totally different than the way we do. I'm going to tell you, we meet with once a month a number of the churches. We all meet together, and we're a very diverse group. And last week we met over in Wyandotte, if you know where Wyandotte Street is. We're over in Wyandotte with one of the pastors there in his church. Let me tell you, it's been a long time. We have breakfast together early in the morning, and I'm going to tell you, breakfasts are different at the different places. It's been a long time since I had shrimp on my scrambled eggs. Come on, somebody. It's been a long time since I had shrimp and fried catfish on the side of it. It's a different breakfast. But people see things through a different lens than what we see it through. And let me give you a couple of the lenses here. A few of the visuals to help us to understand the DNA of the difficult person. Because I believe that's half the battle. Once you understand that person, it's half the battle. And let me give you some lenses that difficult people see through. A difficult person or someone in pain that's hurt or offended, they see the lens through everything that's magnified. Show this one. If you're dealing with somebody that's been hurt in their life and they've been wounded, everything is magnified. You say something, next thing you know, that little something you said that you didn't mean anything by, it is magnified out of proportion. And you don't have a clue what I did. We were in the back one time, and we had a lawyer, and Sue called me in the back, and we had to meet with a lawyer because there was an issue that some first grader had given another first grader a gift at Christmas. And next thing we knew, lawyers were involved. And I mean, it was nothing wrong with the thing. It was a little coin purse. And so I won't get into all the ins and outs of that. But they magnify. It's all distorted. You can give them a comment and it just blows up. The second one is the layers. That is where somebody... They've got so many layers to their life. You don't even realize you're dealing with this one day, and then the next day they're totally different, and then the next day they've been offended, and it's just one layer after another and after another. And when you peel back one layer, there's something else. It's when you're in a conversation with them, and you think you finally got it resolved, and they say I thought we're not done yet. We got something. We're gonna talk about this other thing too right now. And so there's no end to it. And the third one is a lens, and we all struggle with this at times, and that is the me, myself, and I lens. Everything's about me. The world revolves around me. Life's about me. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody hates me. You name it. What about my feelings? What about, what about me? What about, my money? Everything's about me. So there's different types of people, and there's different types of lenses they see through. So what do we do? What do you do in your life this week when you interact with somebody that is a difficult person? And we have a choice. We can deal with it. We can do it in our flesh, or we can do it biblically. And what does the Bible say? So let's look at a few things the Bible says, and we'll talk about it. But let me give you a few choices even before we do that. Let me give you a few choices you can do. Number one is you can choose to curse it. Did everybody get the outline? Everybody got an outline? Did we give outlines out? Okay. If you want to fill them out, you can. Most of you are not going to do it anyway, but use it for the, we just do it to make us feel good, that you're doing it. Line your birdcage with it. We don't care. You can choose to curse it. Now, what that means is this. When you're dealing with a difficult person this week, you can choose. Just say you're in a good mood. I mean, life is great this week. Man, it's fantastic. And the first person you interact with in the morning, I mean, it's just one of the most difficult people you're going to meet the entire week, and you deal with them. And so it comes to your life, and by action or words, you can choose to curse it. What that means is you can choose in the morning, let's say first thing off the bat, beginning of your Monday week, you're going to come across a difficult person. You have the choice. Either you're going to get in the gutter with them, or you're not going to get in the gutter with them. You choose either the curse. You choose. You look down and you're on your way to work. You're going to cut me off. You're not. And next thing you know, you're doing 80 miles an hour chasing this person down the interstate. And you were, you were singing praises just 5 minutes before that. Number two, you can choose to nurse it. This is where when you're interacting with a difficult person, you nurse that hurt. You take it with you. You live wounded. Or the last one is you can choose to reverse it. I started to do a rap, you can curse it. You can nurse it by rehearsing. Or you can reverse it. Come on, somebody. That's why I'm not on the rap circuit. Many years ago, we were at Dollyville. I may have told you this. Many years ago, we were at Dollyville up in Tennessee. And we're Dollywood, something like that. It was a wonderful, not unforgettable place. And so we were there, and it was gospel singing day. And Jazz and I, we have a different taste, so we split up. Come on, anybody else do that? We split up, and we enjoyed our day like that. But what was happening, when I was in college, I learned a yodeling song. And I've got one song that I can, it's Yodeling for Jesus. That's the name of the song, Yodeling for Jesus. Yodeling, we're going to have, but I was a yodeling song. And I've never been able to use it anywhere. And Jasmine went one way, and they had a yodeling stage, and they were asking, does anybody have a yodeling song? And Jasmine did not call me, and I have not forgiven her to this day. Come on, somebody. No, tell her I could have been in Nashville by now, No, we're not going here. No. There are limits. There are limits to my pride. All right. That was going to be there. We'll get Nick to do it next Sunday. You be sure to come back. All right. All right. So what are the choices? What do we have biblical choices? We're going to deal with difficult people. What are your biblical choices? And so let's for the rest of our time, let's lean in and explore what the Word of God says about it. All right. What is a biblical response? Number one is realize you cannot please everybody. Realize you cannot please everybody. Now, this is a big one, because when you finally really believe this and live it, it will help you, because you will not be able to please everyone. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 12. He said, if it is possible, which means maybe it may not be possible sometimes. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with that person you meet in the morning, at work, at school, on the road that cuts you off, as much as lieth within you. All right, Lord, Galatians, look what he wrote in Galatians. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, when I first started pastoring, I thought I could please everybody. Oh, it didn't take long, but about a week to learn that was not true. You cannot please everybody in your life. If you think you can and just keep everything, you know, the Bible doesn't say blessed are the peace keepers. It said blessed are the peacemakers. And there's a vast difference between a peacekeeper. That's a person who'll do anything just to keep the peace. We're not peacekeepers. We're peacemakers. And sometimes, how many know to make peace in this world, there's war. Sometimes there is a struggle. There is a fight if you're going to make peace. And so at times like that, you have to understand you cannot please everybody. John chapter 5, Jesus dealt with a lot of difficult people. John 5 and I should be verse 30. I must have wrote that wrong. Can you try to bring up verse 30? No, you probably wonder why that verse didn't fit back there. It's John 5 and 30. It says, Jesus did not give himself to anyone because he knew what was in man. And when he did that, because he knew, he dealt with a lot of difficult people. And so one of the things you have to come to this conclusion is, I'm going to be not a man pleaser, I'm going to be a God pleaser. I'm not talking about being obnoxious and rude and arrogant, but I'm just talking, at the end of the day, you've got to come to this decision. I'm going to please God. I am going to please God in my life. And a man pleaser can be so confusing, but being a God pleaser brings freedom. The first truth that helps you literally deal with difficult people is you make this decision. I can't please everybody. Just not going to do it. There's somebody who will come in today at the counter. I will not be able to please everybody. I don't care how kind I am, how sweet I am, I'm not going to be able to please everybody. But it gives you the freedom to know that I've done all I can do, and at the end of the day, I'm going to please God. Acts 13 says this. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. See, you serve your generation not at their whim and beck, but you serve your generation according to the will of God. And so at the end of the day, you become a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. You don't say yes to everything. I love you. You've been in those shops where the big sign is your lack of whatever it is not, you know, doesn't constitute an emergency on my part, your lack of preparation, whatever it is. And so you learn that you cannot please everybody. So number one is realize you can't do that. Number two is refuse to play the game. Refuse to play the game. That is, don't get in the game with them tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Don't get in the game with them. Just refuse to get in the game. When they come against you, whenever it blows up, John 2 and 24 says it this way. Says, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Jesus did not trust them because he knew. He knew all about them. He never got pulled down into the Pharisees and the Sadducees' jealousy. Never got in that fight with them. Never got on there on their same level. Never got pulled into the game of hurt and tension and hostility and anger and manipulation and all that stuff. He never got down. He never played the game with them. They were game players. They tried to bait him. They tried to do this and that on him. He refused to play their game. And also, it can happen. Listen, you got to watch out, because it can happen in the workplace. It can happen on the internet. Man, you're just going along. Next thing, you pop up your Facebook and who made that comment? Look at that comment they made about my little boy. You want to come? I'll give you a. You want a comment? I'll give you a comment. File off about 8 5. How many know the things you write on there stay there forever? You better want. I mean, Jasmine is the word. Jasmine reminds me of Peter. I mean, Peter, when Peter got upset, and when she reads an editorial in a paper, and some dumb editor or some, you know, has written some dumb, editorial piece, bro, she's firing off a letter to the... I'll give you a comment. All right, number three, rise above it. Rise above it. This week coming up, you know, I think one of the greatest things we can biblically do is say, I'm going to be pleasing to God. I'm not going to play their game, and then we'll rise above it. I'm going to rise above it. I got a mean email from a guy from another state this week. We'd been through real busy, and he'd been emailing me, and I didn't have time to email him back. And he got very offended and wrote me this big email. And so instead of just responding back in anger, I just told him exactly what happened. You know, he sheepishly wrote me an email. I apologize. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been offended. You know, sometimes when you rise above with a difficult person, standing at the counter, sitting at the table, standing the next desk, you know, on the phone, when you get to choose how you're going to deal with that difficult person this week. You get to choose on that. So how are you going to do it? What about rising above? Isaiah 40, one of the great scriptures says, "But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles." Listen, you begin to, like eagles, is over all the clouds of turmoil and hostility and anger and all that stuff. Instead of you having to go to the counter and getting some, you know, Pepto-Bismol or some antacids, you can just rise above that thing. How many know you cannot fly with the eagles if you live with the turkeys? Come on, somebody. So you've got to learn to do that. And then number four is never retaliate. This is a painful one. Because we want to do this, but this is a painful one. Now read what Peter wrote in Peter chapter 3. Never retaliate. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. Won't you get, you're awful slow in there. What's wrong with you? You know, I wish somebody here had some sense in this business. Are you sure you did that honest? Never trade insults with somebody. When you're dealing with difficult people this week, never trade insults with them. Watch this. Don't retaliate with insults when difficult people this week insult you. Instead, I don't like this. I wish he'd stop right there. Okay, all right, all right, all right. But he says, but instead, I'll pay him back. Pay them back with what? You know, that's a pretty dress you got on. I like your haircut. Hey, you know, I appreciate you coming in here. Could have went anywhere. And inside you think, why don't you go somewhere? Now you could have went anywhere. Could have went any restaurant, any business, called anybody, called another person. But pay them back with a what? A blessing. Lord bless you. Hey, I hope God just blesses your socks off. I want to pray. When you leave that, I'm going to pray for you. And just bless, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Well, sometimes, listen, inside you feel like totally different. Your flesh wants to do this. We do this in marriage. You say something harmful to me, I'll say something harmful back to you. It's a self-protection mode that we get in. You can be mean to me, I'll be mean to you. You can be nasty, I'll be nasty to you. You know, so we get up, and it's self-protection. The Bible says don't retaliate. If anybody could have retaliated, it was Jesus. You know he had the power to do anything. I don't know about you, but at one point with those Pharisees, I'd have said, oh, all right, you want to do it? I'm going to turn you into mice, just like that. I'm going to turn your wife into cats. Have a good day. He could have done anything he wanted. You know, when Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. You know, he told Peter in the garden in Matthew 26. Remember what he told Peter in the garden? Don't you think that I can now pray the Father and he will provide me with more than 12? You want me to retaliate? Peter, you want me to retaliate? Put your sword up. You know, remember, he got the sword, he cut the servant's ear off. And he's retaliating. Because here is difficult people Jesus is encountering. And Peter's retaliating in the flesh, angry, mad, you know, probably just missed Jesus when he swung this sword wildly. And Jesus said, put the dumb thing up. He said, don't you know if I want to retaliate, I could, listen, that, I don't need your puny little sword if I want to retaliate. Who needs your little sword? Now listen to God's talk to you. He doesn't need your little comment. He doesn't need your action. He doesn't. If God wants to retaliate, he doesn't need your little whatever. He doesn't need our little whatever. He said, if I want to retaliate, all I have to say is, Father, Father. And next thing you know, I can get more than 12 legions. You know how much a legion? One legion was over 6,000. 12 legion is 72,000 angels. I could get more than 12 legions. He had more than 12 legions of angels. In Isaiah 32, I believe it is, one angel killed 185,000 people by himself one night. One angel killed 185,000. Just do the math on that. That's going to be, you know how many people 12 legions of angels could kill? 13 billion people. He could, if he wanted to retaliate, he could wipe out planet Earth and all nearby worlds together. One word. He could wipe it all out. He said, if I wanted to retaliate, man, I can retaliate. Wipe this place. One word, and I wipe this world and everything else around it out. Somebody say amen today. Number five, then release them. Some people, listen, release them. Some people you cannot fix. I don't care how much you want to try, how much you love them, how much you care about them. Some people you will never be able to fix. You just have to give them to God. You realize, you know, you get in the ditch and anger with them, and you have to realize you may block the road to God for them. It may be the very thing that God is using is your conduct to win them to him. You say, oh God, make me a witness. You know sometimes how he makes you a witness is by your conduct when anybody else in the world would have sued them. I remember we had a situation where a baby, he said, I'm not suing anybody. And he was his heart was there. And when you do that, sometimes God will use you in a situation where your conduct, by not exploding, by not getting in the ditch, by not getting in the gutter with them, it's the witness that God will use to win and speak to that other person. You never know. You know, 1 Peter says it this way. It says, it is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everybody. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if there's the difficult people, bosses, you name it. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure difficult people this week. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good, you just answered the phone. You just walked up to the counter. Can I help you? All you did was, hey, what's going on? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned. He never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. You know what he did? He just released him to God. Just released him to God. How many know God can do a better job of dealing with it than you can ever do? Whether it's a child, whether it's a relative, whether it's a coworker, a boss. What an example. Matthew 5:44, he says, I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. One of the biggest things I found in my life was when I start praying for people, God begins showing me their heart many times. And you know it's impossible to hate somebody you're praying for. One of the things that will root hate out of your heart is when you begin to pray for them. Pray for them that have persecuted you, misused you. Pray for them instead of trying to get, sympathy to turn you see their DNA. God began to show you their heart. God begins to speak to you. When you pray for those that God shows you the grace that you've received, and then in prayer, God begins to show you that, and you see them differently. I remember a buddy of mine recently was in Popeyes, and I try not to go there because, my cardiologist doesn't want me eating fried food. But he was in Popeyes, and they must have been a few workers short that day. And the line was long, and it was, it was overcrowded, and they were doing the best. And the workers behind there, some of them probably caught a bus to get to work at 5 that morning. And not their fault. They're doing the best they could. And there was about an 80-year-old man in line, and he was at the counter. And he was going, I've never been just making comments and making sounds and really upset with the girls behind the counter. And he was obnoxious. And my buddy told me, he said, I really started hating this guy. I just started hating him. Here are these poor ladies, they're doing the best they can do. And he's saying, it's chicken, all it is chicken. And he made a big scene at the counter and grabbed his food when he finally came and marched out the door. And my buddy was next in line. He was just about to order, and that guy busted back through the door. Where's my biscuit? You didn't put my biscuit in my three-piece. And my buddy's looking, and he said, in my heart, I said, I despise this guy. And so he said, when he finally put a biscuit in there, that woman looked at him and said, what do you want? He said, I just want some chicken, please. That's all I want, chicken. Bless you. And he walked out the door, and young man, 80 years old, sorry, I'm getting in trouble, bought that three-piece. But he was out in an old beat-up pickup truck in the back of it and had 8 kids in the back of that pickup truck that you could tell they weren't just a one-time deal. It looked like he had somehow, his grandchildren, that he had suddenly had taken custody of, and he's breaking up that three-piece meal with those biscuits. Let me know your heart will change when you see something like that. And so when you begin to deal with difficult people, you don't know what's happened. You don't know what's happened that morning. You don't know what's going on. Their wife or husband may have left them that morning. They may have had, the phone call from the doc that morning telling them bad news. You don't know. Not all of them like that, but I'm going to tell you there's sometimes in number 6, and when you realize that, then you learn to live redemptively. And that is Ephesians 4:32 says, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I remember one time in my life I got really hurt. And, I realized at some point that I had not dealt with it and that it had become a seed of hate. You can color it and mask it and call it whatever you want to call it in your life, but through life, things will happen to you and things will occur. And if you let it and you nurse it and rehearse it and curse it and let it stay inside of you, bitterness turns into hate and you end up hating. And I remember, one of the things that you learn from the Lord is this. You will never have to forgive anybody for more than the Lord has forgiven you. You will never have to forgive anybody for any more that the Lord has not forgiven you of. And the Lord will speak this to you sometimes. He'll say, listen, don't close your arms to people when I've extended my arms to you. Don't you close your arms to people. They got a whole study that shows you how to read people. When you're talking to them, are they doing this? Are they doing this? Or are they scratching their nose? Or, all how you can read people. It doesn't take a lot to read, Don't ever close your arms to others when I've extended my arms to you. Everybody put everything out of your hand. Let's stand up today. So how do you deal with difficult people? Well, that's how you deal with difficult people this week. And I've got a feeling that all of us are going to be able to put this into practice this week. And when it happens, you just remember it and think of it. Listen, I would tell you this. Don't try to bring the notes out because it's too late at that point. You have to be ready and prepared. So close your eyes, would you? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you don't really, one of the big things is the only way we can handle all this stuff is we can't do it on our own. We have to do it with God's help. And maybe God feels like 100 miles away from you. You're nowhere near God. You haven't been to church maybe in a while, or maybe you have, but God is just not really a big part of your life, a day in, day out, moment in, moment out. And you need help. And the biggest help you'll ever get in life is not just how to deal with difficult people, but how to deal with your own life and how to deal with life itself. And the way that happens is God made a way where there is no other way. God made a way for you to know Him and to be a part of His family and to be close to Him. God, it's an amazing thing how big God is, and God wants you to be a part of His family with you. And so this morning, the Lord will speak to you. And maybe you're here and you just need that. And it's the most simplest thing. God made it. God put it on the bottom shelf. He didn't put it on the high shelf where you got to know all this theology and all that stuff. He put it on the bottom shelf that whosoever will can take of it. Whosoever will can come and know God and experience Jesus. And what it is, what you do is say, God, I've got a lot of sin in my life. I got a lot of stuff, Lord, I've done wrong. And the Bible says that God made a way where not you just feel bad about it, but that God gave His only begotten Son who was sinless. And Jesus came to the earth and He lived a sinless life. And then He died. And the Bible says He took our sin upon Himself. And all the wrong that you've done and all the sin you've done, He took that on Himself. And because of that, He said, I will pay your price. I will nullify it. But the great thing is He doesn't just wipe out your sin and make you at zero to where you're clean. But the Bible says He then gives you all of His righteousness. He that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness. So now He not only wipes out all your bad stuff, He gives you all of His righteousness. That before God, you are righteous. And before God, you are as Jesus was. As He is, so are we. And so this morning, if you want to do the great exchange where you can change all that life you've got and all the baggage you've got and all the sin you've got, and you can exchange it for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. How do you do that, Pastor? The Bible says repent. The word means to turn. It means to have a change of mind. It means just to say, God, I cannot save myself. I need you to change me. I need you to save me. Forgive me of all I've done wrong. So if you want to do that this morning, I want everybody to pray and help them. And we're going to pray. Everybody here is going to help you. Maybe you haven't prayed in a long time. We're going to all pray together. And we're going to pray with you. Everybody say, Dear God, I ask you this morning, forgive me of all I've done wrong. I thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place and then giving me your righteousness. Save me, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen this morning. Give the Lord a good clap after. Would you do that? Come on. Okay, one last prayer real quick. I want to pray for you. This week, I just feel like God is going to orchestrate a difficult situation for you. I just feel like God's going to orchestrate. The Bible says about Job, God is the one that asked the devil, have you considered Job? And I just think your name is going to come up somewhere. And you're going to have the opportunity to be conscious of God's will and to show forth His grace and mercy and kindness and to deal with a difficult person this week. And when you do, ask God for wisdom on how to do it. So, Father, I bless this people with your goodness and kindness. I thank you for every light that's going out into a dark place this week. Lord, to be a difference maker, to be one, Lord, that's going to change the life of somebody through their action, their godly action of forgiveness and mercy and kindness. Lord, let them be like eagles this week and rise above the challenge. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give one more good clap offering. God bless you.